You're listening to The Profit Margin with First Trust Bank.
Hello to you all. After our summer break, we're back and there are some changes. Now I'll be joined every week by none other than business broadcaster Jamie DeLargy. Delighted to welcome him on board. You can also find us on the Irish News website under the business tab, and you can get in contact the regular way via our Facebook and Twitter pages at The Profit Margin. Now you'll have seen the ads. Dublin Airport is making an aggressive bid to attract travellers from Northern Ireland. Around 400,000 passengers from here a year are now flying out of Dublin. The trade is seen as a threat, leeching business from local airports. But should we change our thinking around Dublin? Look at it as a strategic asset, as a gateway into Northern Ireland for tourists and corporate executives. Work with it rather than against it. It's got a big range of long-haul routes bringing business right to our doorstep. One man who should know is Enda Corneal, Ireland manager for Emirates. We spoke to him earlier.
We see a good mix coming from Northern Ireland. About 65% of our customers are leisure customers, but 35% are business customers. And they're choosing to fly with Emirates from Dublin because they're being able to get to China, Perth, the Middle East, quickly, easy through the hub in Dubai. So I suppose it's the choice of operations, the choice of destinations.
And what about specifically about the Northern Irish traveller? How much does that make up of your business, if you have any idea about that?
Well, it's certainly a growing amount of our business. This time last year, I mean, we're certainly 25-30% ahead. We're engaging. We've got staff based in Northern Ireland. It's becoming a very important market to us. And for the very same reason, people are deciding that rather than go via Manchester or via Heathrow, where you're adding more time to your journey, you're adding more sectors, you know, take the relatively short drive to Dublin, park the car or get dropped off. And you've got then a choice of destinations, one stop or two stop, to where you need to get.
And Jamie, I know you're keen to weigh in here at this point.
Yeah, I mean, quite strikingly, Emirates is one of a number of long-haul operators that have chosen not to set up a base in Belfast. Well, can you explain why? Is there not simply the demand to justify long-haul operations over and above what we have already?
Well, next January 9th, Emirates will be 5 years flying from Ireland. So that's quite a short amount of time. And in that time, we've gone from a single daily flight of 275 passengers to now 720 passengers a day. So the growth has been phenomenal. And I suppose, as I said, Emirates believes in the possible. If you look at, for example, we're here in Belfast, if you look at the British mainland, you know, we've always flown from the major population centres like Heathrow in London and Manchester. But we're also doing daily flights from Newcastle, daily flights from Glasgow. So overlaying other airports is not new for us. But I think in the Irish context, you have to look at market proximity and market density and population density. And I suppose it is really a relatively short drive between Belfast and Dublin. And I think that would really put pressure. If we were to put a daily service, which is what we do, out of Belfast, you'd be adding 360 more seats per day to the 720 we have out of Dublin. And certainly in the short term, you know, that would put, economically, that would not make sense. I think what we need to do is continue to drive the business out of Dublin, drive the load factor ever higher. We're currently around 75%, 80%, which means we're 20% more empty, you know, seats we can fill. But I certainly wouldn't write it off. But certainly in the short term, I think that the focus is to drive more business on the Dublin operation, grow that and grow it further. And then that might offer opportunities to expand into a market like Belfast. Two airports in the north of Ireland do a fantastic job for short haul.
I'm very clear that you're not making any commitment to come to Northern Ireland, but you're obviously considering that it might be a possibility in the future. How far away realistically might you be looking at Belfast and saying, yeah, we can, no, we can't?
It's difficult to say, but what I can say to you is that we would have a long, long list of airports that we want to serve or airports that want us to serve them. We would look at our planning on a yearly basis. I think we're on the 14th or 15th draft of our current operating plan, making changes. I mean, we're a global business and we're affected by global events. And we have to make, you know, changes sometimes to our network to take account of that. But certainly, all things being equal, It's a destination of interest. Only recently we actually met some of the folks here in terms of InvestNI and the airport, you know, and just making sure all the data we had about the airport and about the market was up to date. So, you know, it's something that's under consideration, but one can never say in aviation, and it's one of the joys of the job, one never knows what tomorrow will bring and what plans you might have, which may have to be changed. So it's very difficult to give you a definitive.
If Invest or indeed the Department for the Economy were to make a subsidy available, would that be something that would affect your thinking?
I think it goes into the mix, but I'm a firm believer that airlines that depend on subsidies for operations ultimately will fail. You have to have the customer base, you have to have the population base, you have to have the market. If the market doesn't exist, the cheque will run out, the cheque will be cashed and will be spent, and then you're back to, as I said, can you fill that aircraft on a rainy day, rainy Tuesday in February? And that's what it's about. And if you can, and your market research is strong enough, then you don't need any subsidies. The subsidy is irrelevant. The subsidy is a crutch. You need to be able to stand your own 2 feet with your business and say, we've got the right product at the right price, and we've got the customers, and we're profitable.
I suppose there is a mindset here. I'm not saying it's prevalent, but there certainly is a viewpoint that Dublin Airport is damaging the local economy by taking away those passengers to the south and getting the income from them. Should we modify that in light of how we could benefit from Dublin?
Absolutely, Jamie. I mean, I can count on two hands and 2 feet the number of customers that have come to me from Northern Ireland who have said, you know what, now that you guys are flying twice a day from Dublin, I can get to my customers in Perth or in China far easier. The fact that you've got 2 777s with 50 tons of cargo, we can now export our goods, truck them down, get them on their way far easier. So, you know, I would argue back that that is what the real story is here, is that the capacity out of Dublin that allows customers like that to travel, to meet their customers, to do new business, is ultimately really benefiting the Northern Ireland economy, because that company is an employer and all the rest of it, and contributing to the community in Northern Ireland, the business community. So I would argue that by embracing the facility that's there, the range of destinations, particularly for business, it's such a good news story, and it feeds directly back into the Northern Ireland economy.
Enda Corneal there, listening to that. In studio with us is Graham Keddie from the International Airport. Graham, can I just start by asking if you've had any engagement with Emirates?
Yes, we have. Enda himself was up with a team from Dubai talking to us 2 or 3 months ago. We've also been engaging with Qatar Airways in the Middle East. So we talk to the airlines constantly to try and tempt them up to Belfast.
Do you see any likelihood that Emirates might come here in the next few years?
We believe the traffic's there. Our traffic studies done by independent consultants are clear that a lot of the traffic that is currently going down to Dublin to go on Emirates and Etihad and Turkish is coming out of Northern Ireland, so, and out of our catchment area. So we believe there's a route to be run from here.
Just looking at Enda's argument that we should, if you like, embrace what Dublin Airport has to offer, and I'm talking here as an economy and not fight it, what do you make of that argument, that it's to our overall benefit?
I think, obviously, I'm coming from an agenda here, but ultimately for an economy, you need a vibrant aviation sector. You need access, you need connectivity. For most businessmen or FDI flying into this island, if you fly into Dublin, why would you come to the north? We employ 4,500, I think Belfast City, 1,600, City of Derry, 300 or 400. So there's massive employment, very well-paid jobs. Why would we give those away? Why not develop them? Why not become the hubs and spokes of the economy, as Edinburgh is, as Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham? They fight against Heathrow and Gatwick, two of the world's busiest airports.
The argument, I think, would be that if you're in North America and you can fly directly from your city to Dublin, it's only an hour and a half up the road, and that makes it a more convenient operation.
But ultimately, why would you come if you're flying into Dublin? Why not just stop there? A lot of people do that. Most people won't go more than 90 minutes, so we're being very Belfast-centric here. If you try to get to Derry, it's at least 3 hours, probably more, on very bad roads. So we've got to look at the whole economy of Northern Ireland and even Donegal and Sligo, which we pull a lot of traffic from. These places would die very quickly without proper connectivity from City of Derry Airport from Belfast International, from Belfast City.
The reality is that Dublin has, over a period of time, and it doesn't really have an APD advantage in long haul, it's attracted all those operators. Now, we haven't managed to attract more than one. So in a sense, bow to the inevitable. Dublin's always going to be the premier long haul operation airport on this island.
I think that's fair, but it won't stop us from trying to get carriers in here, because the moment we stop, we might as well give up and close up shop. We can compete on the basis of short haul, because if you look at our GB traffic from this from Northern Ireland, we're, you know, I think 5 million, 5.5 million on GB. Dublin is about 7 and a bit, so there's not a huge difference there. Long haul, we'll never be able to compete fully. But on European traffic, that's where we're getting really defeated. It's 12 to 1. I think they're 12, 13 million. I think we're only 1 million as the three airports combined. So there's where we've got to compete on that basis.
But your business is doing relatively well at the moment.
Yeah, to put it into context, we've probably increased the number of people working at the airport by over 500 in the last 8 months. So the place is buzzing. We're doing very well. We can't complain about that. It's always more, but generally the economy for us is good. The economic situation is making sure that the airport continues to grow, and we are in a good place.
And what about the number of passengers through your doors?
We'll hit over 5 million this year. Next year, if it continues, we'll be a record year. We'll go beyond our pre-recession levels, which is all good.
What plans do you have moving forward?
Well, we work with our existing carriers to get them to grow. Like all these businesses, we talk to carriers constantly. It's, you're fishing in a very big pond, and we try and talk to as many people as possible. So we make offers to various carriers on bringing them in. We do route studies for them. And that's where we've got to get the hook into them to pull them in, reel them into Northern Ireland.
Is there any specific location that you're keen to target? And are you actually making any headway?
Well, there's probably two. The first question I get asked by any politician in Northern Ireland is, when are we getting Canada back? And it's been a mantra since I've been here for the last 2 years. So we're working hard with carriers to get them back in here. We know the route works. It's just getting them back. And the second one would obviously be an eastbound hub, would be either Istanbul or Doha or Dubai.
So watch this space.
Watch that space.
Graham Keddie, thank you for coming to talk to us. Now with a look at what the week ahead has in store, here's Neil Parker from First Trust Bank.
You're listening to The Profit Margin with First Trust Bank.
Coming up, three things to look out for. From the UK, manufacturing and industrial production data, as well as inflation expectations. The post-Brexit data is now starting to give us a good idea of the immediate impact on economic activity. Then, from the US, we'll have the Fed's Beige Book report, a survey which gives a picture of the overall US economic growth, with inputs by both market experts and economists. The market may be underestimating expectations of a US rate rise this year, so markets will be looking for further clues. And from Europe, we'll have the ECB's monthly policy statement and press conference. Europeans are likely to retain their easing bias and potentially ease further, meaning a rate cut further into negative territory. Markets are now anticipating European interest rates could remain negative until 2020 or possibly 2021.
Now, regular listeners will know that it's getting to that time when we showcase a startup. This week, it's Debbie Craig from Lime Jar. She's developed an educational online platform to help kids with autism, and she's just launched a Kickstarter campaign.
Hi, I'm Debbie Craig. I'm from Belfast and I'm founder of Lime Jar. I have combined my experience of raising my autistic son with my skills in software development to create Boop. Boop will be the first multi-platform software that truly engages all of the important people in an autistic child's life, including the child themselves. On the 23rd of August, I'm excited to be launching a Kickstarter campaign to fund the next stage of development. The key to this software is its ability to bridge the communication gap between home, health and education. An online platform for parents, health providers and educators seamlessly links in with a fun and engaging app for the autistic child that runs on Android and iPad tablets. The online platform syncs straight to the child's device and provides the ability to remotely create a truly personalised learning experience. Here they can collaborate, create and monitor their child's targets, their moods and routines. Boop encourages self-management and promotes self-assessment and independent learning in children. So far I have successfully raised 50k of grant funding and my company was a successful candidate of the Repel Business Development Programme 2015. This Kickstarter campaign is a real opportunity for parents, schools and organisations to access this powerful platform and at the same time to support me in making BOOP a reality. You can find out more information and get the link to the Kickstarter on www.boop.ie. You can also email me on debbie@limejar.co.uk or find me on Twitter @_limejar, LIMEJAR. Thank you.
You've just heard all of Debbie's details. We'll tweet them out too. You can get in touch with us at The Profit Margin. We're also on Facebook. Let us know if your business is doing interesting work. We'd love to hear from you.
You're listening to The Profit Margin with First Trust Bank.